Hello, I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders. Tonight, it's just like 3 minutes ago I decided what I was going to do because, you know, I don't plan the shows because it takes the flavor out of the concoction. However, since so many personalities are wandering around and becoming evolved into my world as well as me in their world, I decided to do the different temperaments of personality characters. You know, outward expression of ourselves, which may or may not be our character, well, it depends on how genuine you are. And you know me, what you see is what you get every single time. I play hard, I work hard, and I love hard. And I don't put on any fronts because what other people think of me is just none of my business. I don't like people to rent space in my head, so I don't give them much mind of what they're thinking about me, because then if they're renting space in my head, then I'm going to judge it. I'm going to be the juror. I'm going to be the DA. I'm going to be the everything that there is, and I'm going to be on trial with myself. I'm going to convict myself and put myself down into that dungeon pit where I just wallow in, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? What are they thinking? You know, all those little voices in my head. So I choose to stay in the moment. And I often love to just put my personality out there. I believe firmly in truth, very much so, to where my mother even says that I'm truthful to a fault, almost bluntly truthful. And it's when someone penetrates me with their negativity, I'm going to penetrate them right back with their mirror of what they see, because what you speak of someone else is what you think of yourself, insecurities especially. Those are the most things that people tend to pull out of themselves. Now, what I want to do is I want to help people get their personality understood as well as get it to where they can see exactly what they're feeling and thinking of their own self, because if we're not true to ourselves, then we're lying. But let me just explain something. Lying, even a lie is its truth because it's laying in its own truth's vat. So therefore, a lie that you tell yourself, you're sitting there convincing yourself, so it takes up space in your head. So anyway, what I want to say, I've been running around like a chicken with its head cut off, so I'm a little out of breath, so forgive me for that. But we want to please ourselves more so than we want to please others at times. And until you get into the moment, into the moment of things, then we tend to have a problem with the concept of the knowing. And, hello, I heard a little click. Okay, well, anyway, staying in the knowing is what we are trying to dissolve, is the mystery. The mystery out there, God is the mystery. Okay, to me, I'm constantly working for the Lord. I'm constantly working to better myself and think in the moment. I'm constantly seeking knowledge to gain, to apply to my wisdom. I'm seeking to wake up and absorb more knowledge to apply to my wisdom each day. And that's in work, and that's in play, and that's in any given day. So, anyway, we have these temperaments that we have in ourselves. We have several different types. I'm going to be looking, which I have been reading a long time ago, it's Tim LaHaye's Spirit Control Temperament, and I love the analogy that he gives of the certain temperaments. So if you don't mind, I don't usually look into a book. I usually just tell it. I'm going to be ad-libbing and giving a lot of what I feel about the book as well. The temperament traits that we receive, anyway, come from our parents, but they also come from the outside world, the civilization, the people, places, and things along the way that have made up our maps. You know, we come into this world with just a few things. We come into the world to survive, to breathe, and we come into the world to survive, to reproduce. The rest is man-made and learned, and we learn it, you know, by each cell that we place in our bodies with thoughts, processes, and the way our neurotransmitters fire with our synapses. So, given that said, I'm just going to go on with the expressions of how these feelings come about. We have several. There's
I want everyone to know and realize that your temperament can be changed. It's not a set in stone. It is something that if you decide that you don't want it anymore, throw it away. But the more that you practice at something, the better you get at it. And we want to be better than best can be. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at my divine nature and where it comes from. And that comes from the knowing of the Creator inside me, the I am in me. If I stay as Christ-centered or as centered as I can with any given feeling, then I'm going to be in my heart center. People tend to want to not call it about Christ. They can choose to call whichever way and path that you want to, but that's just my choice of the matter. I see clearly when I'm focused in on the Lord. I see clearly when I'm praying and meditating with the Lord. It's, you know, but I do many different types of energy changes as well with my meditation. However, there's four basic temperaments that we have in the world. We're also an introvert or an extrovert. I just turned the page because I'm looking around to see what to say on this book. But anyway, what I want to say is that there is a sanguine, and that is like the blood. There's the choleric, which is like the yellow. There's the melancholy, which is like the black. And then there's the phlegmatic, which is like the phlegm. Now, what I want to say about that is Tim LaHaye is explaining in his book, is the sanguine is like the blood of your body. The choleric is like the yellow vial. The melancholy is the black vial. And the phlegmatic is the phlegm, you know, that you do. Anyway, so if you look at these temperaments, then it's going to explain to you, like, Sparky the sanguine. That's me. I know I'm Sparky the sanguine. I never meet a stranger. You could put me in front of a crowded elevator, per se, that not a single solitary soul can get back in. I would get in, and I would be facing the crowd because I can't turn around, and I would be saying, I guess you wonder what all you were doing here today or what meeting I've called today. I never meet a stranger. I'm always outgoing and very, very, very excited, very happy-go-lucky. I don't care about anything except for being carefree. I would love to just explain to you about my bubbly temperament and personality when I get that way, especially when I'm, you know, it just hits me. It just hits me. I am just so comfortable in my own skin and evolved within myself that no one or nothing can really basically get under my skin, except for when it's something that someone's showing me in the mirror. Now, if someone says something and I get huffy or puffy, I have to look at why that is bothering me. And because my bubbly temperament turns into choleric, and that's the headstrong, strong-willed, wanting my own way, wanting to just, it's good to have the choleric in there. However, it is a possibility that it can be too strong of a will, and it can break some people, because a strong-willed choleric person is that of made up of many different types of, there's four temperaments, but there's eight sides, there's two sides to every temperament, so that means there's eight. Now, we're all made up of different temperaments inside our bodies. Like the phlegmatic, it's the laid-back, easy-going person. If your house was on fire, the phlegmatic would go. After it was just really on fire, well, I guess I got to get up out of this chair now and get out of the house because it's going to burn me up if I don't. They're real slow, easy, calm, very laid-back. Most people that are very sanguine have a hard time with a phlegmatic because they're popping, you know, excited, wanting to get there and do things all the time. If that is their dominant temperament, now we have the dominant temperament. Now we have the melancholy, the very sensitive. But listen, here is the key with the melancholy. I'm not in the book yet, by the way, so I'm just telling you what I know so far. The melancholy, now let's look at that. Because you've heard that word that's very familiar to the active listeners here on www.bbsradio.com. and I'm on station one. And this feeling that you get with a melancholy is very sensitive, very loving and caring, very nurturing. It could be overpowering nurturing. Doesn't know control from concern. And loves to control so that they don't get their little tissies out of a mess, so that they are, you know, their cleric comes in and tries to control the melancholy, which is the headstrong, strong-willed person, and it gets the melancholy a little mixed up inside. I'm talking about one person, me, okay, me. Now, if I have my sensitivity of my melancholy on, that I, which is always, I try to keep a balance in my sanguine, which is my outgoing personality, my melancholy, which is my sensitivity and loving and caring and nurturing and healing, and my clericness, which I am working very hard on keeping my temper under control with it, with certain people, like very close to me, like my mother, and people that tend to raise their voice at me. If you raise your voice at me, I will speak. And that's something I need to work on, because I stay very calm and easy and peaceful, usually 20,009% of the time. I'm going to say 20 up 1,000. Okay, then I don't have much phlegmatic in me except for when it comes to my house, because I kept my mother and father had me keep the house so perfect. And then I had my children, and we were into ball and dancing and scouts and you name it. My kids were in it, and not counting the supper and everything and keeping the house clean. And so I didn't have much time to be a phlegmatic. Now I was married to a phlegmatic, where I used to have to get across his lap, literally, and sit across it, grab his face, and turn it towards me and say, I am going to the store. Is there anything you want? Because he was so tuned into the TV or just kicking back for the day because he had worked 12 hours. And so, you know, me bouncing all around and wanting to be and go and do and see and feel and all that stuff. Today, I'm very phlegmatic with my house. It's very laid back. It's very homey. I know where things are. Somebody might come in here and say, God, she's got a mess. It's not a mess to me. Yeah, it's my domain. And I'm very fortunate because I was somebody's daughter. I was somebody's mother. I was somebody's wife. I was somebody's girlfriend, and I've gone and come out of the forest, a million mile journey, on my own for 11 years, maybe 12, by myself, and I am very set in my ways. Now, don't get me wrong, I have a boyfriend that I let come around once in a while if he has wiggle room, but now, you know, I have to learn. Here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to learn to balance these temperaments and personalities, because we have to mold them into our mates and into our daily lives and into the world. And so what I want to tell you as well is it's a genuine feeling of joys and sorrows that we have within our temperament. It's not just one level all the time. It's like a Sparky the Sanguine is a good salesman, a good hospital worker, a good teacher, a good conversationalist, a good actor, a good public speaker, and occasionally they're leaders. Okay, then there's the second temperament type. I'm going to go in order now by the book. Tim LaHaye. Okay, there's Rocky the Cleric, hot, quick, active, practical, very strong-willed temperament, very self-sufficient, very independent. They're finding ways and means to make decisions on himself and not allowing anyone else in the decision-making. Okay, I'll get back to him in a little bit. His attitude is very self-sufficient and strong and makes it difficult for certain people to be able to get in. Then you have Master the Melancholy, okay? Melancholy, the black, dark temperament, that the dark temperament of the melancholy is very very analytical, self-sacrificing, gifted, perfectionist type, sensitive, emotional nature. But then there's the introvert as well that they have. They tend to be introverts more so and not speak up their mind. But however, if the melancholy has problems or difficulties with situations, then it seems that it feels like a personal sacrifice. And I'm going to stop right there. And that's triggering a thought for me. Personal sacrifice. Now, excuse me, let's look at that. That's guilt, right? But no one can cause us to feel guilt. No one. Guilt is self-inflicted. Now, shame, however, is placed upon us. And you've got to look at the different types of guilt. There's the guilt that is, the guilt that is true guilt or the real guilt, and then there's that false guilt. Now, the true guilt and real guilt is like if you've done something to someone or if you have intentionally done something. Let's say like maybe you took a bracelet or a necklace or something from a store, or maybe you hit a car and it was just a little scratch but you left. But then you have that guilt-ridden feeling that's inside your body. It just goes, oh, you know, until you make it right. Now, that is a true guilt. Now, there's false guilt, which is self-inflicted as well, which is like maybe say, okay, I'm going to give you an example. Let's say my daughter's over here, and she's going to go to a party, and I'm going to be left all alone. I could say, well, you go and have fun. I'll just be here all by myself. Don't bother with me. I'll just be fine. You know, so then my daughter will go off to the party, and she'll go, I wonder what Mom's doing. I wonder if she's okay. I wonder, it's almost a manipulation control, but it's not because it's the false guilt. See, then my daughter actually carried around that false guilt saying, I shouldn't be at this party. I should go home to Mom. She's all by herself. But it was the mom, me, that self-inflicted it, which is almost barreling on the side of shame. But shame is so self-inflicted. Is inflicted upon us where, you know, someone shames us into, let's say, a rape or let's say a beating or let's say ridiculing us to death. You know, those are circumstances that are in their own environment that are controlled in their own. And as I've told you all listeners out there before, experience is a choice. How we're going to experience something is a choice. The circumstance is not. Now, the circumstance lives in its own very own home, okay? I'm getting a little off the subject because I'm ADD and flying over a little bit. Let me get back to the self-inflicted later because I want to get to one more temperament, which is flipping phlegmatic. Does that not make sense? Okay, that's the calm and easygoing person. Never seems to get ruffled. And very, very low boiling point. Very low boiling point. Just almost seldom explodes in the anger or laughter. Keeps his emotions under control. And he's also very, 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 very capable of combining all of the abilities, all of the sanguine, phlegmatic, choleric, and melancholy. Now, the phlegmatic doesn't lack for friends because he enjoys people. But his sense of humor is very dry. A phlegmatic sense of humor is very dry, and some people just don't know how to take a phlegmatic. But then that individual can have a certain crowd of people in stitches, laughing so hard because they feel comfortable with that group of people. Very humorous they are. Very retentive-minded, though, has a good retentive mind, and is very capable of being a good imitator. Like, I'm definitely doing right up the mountains. I said it. You know, something like that, you know, just being an ad-libbing or, you know, just being like another person and just, you know, mocking them or something like that in fun. Totally in fun, though. And they have aimless, restless enthusiasm. But often a sanguine comes in and confronts the phlegmatic. Because the sanguine's like, hey, why are you like that? What are you doing like that? You know, and just has a thousand million... Up 1,500, probably like the gear that's in 120 miles an hour instead of the normal mind that's 77 miles an hour to get your sanguine just totally in there. There's also the light that is very flare it with the phlegmatic is like throwing ice water on a flame, because a cleric is very steaming hot, very hot tempered, very, go get her. You know, we gotta get it. Do it right. Get it done. What are you doing sitting on your butt? But the phlegmatic is really not sitting on its butt. It's really sitting there contemplating everything. What's going on? You know, that kind of stuff. And so, I didn't even give out the call-in numbers, but they're on the screen if you want to look at them. They're 877-876-5227. There's several others on there as well. But anyway, I want to get back to this. Believe me, there's so much to talk about with this whole situation that I'm flipping through this book not knowing even where to start. I know I've touched on a lot. It's almost like one of those pop quizzes in school where the teacher gives you just bam, 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 and you're supposed to know it all. That's basically what I just did. Now, I summed it up, and I'm kind of going backwards. Now let's get to the nitty-gritty of everything. When a person gets on your mind or gets on you and you can't get it off, or a jealousy, or wondering what your spouse is up to, or trying to figure out what is going on with that person because they're new, then a lot of people get the intimidation field going up. A lot of people get inferiority complexes, and a lot of people don't realize that they're showing that part of themselves. However, it is very, very noticeable when a person has evolved into understanding each and every type of temperament that there is. Now, believe you me, I have a long ways to go, but being a victim of a brutal thing that happened to me where the guy got 32 years in prison, you know, which was an accident with me being in the wrong place at the wrong time where someone jumped through my car window, has got me to where I read little nitty-gritty details of people, places, and things along the way, kind of almost hypersensitively, so that I can be protected in myself. However, it's very, I'm learning to balance that out. It's almost like you would take my personality, and I can be very, very business. I can be very fun at the party. I can be very alone at the party. I could be whatever I want to be, because I choose it. It's my choice. There we go. Experience is a choice. Circumstances are not. Okay. Now let me give you a hypothetical or a harsh circumstance. Like my home falling in, and I have to rebuild it. That was a circumstance, but my experience of the choice is how am I going to look at it and feel? How am I? There's six different feelings that we have, but there's the doing behavior of the feeling is what is always in control. It can make me stand on my head. It can make me watch TV. It can make me zone out. It can make me meditate. It can make me pray. Whatever I choose for my doing behavior that best suits my needs for the circumstance that I am out of control of is what I will best do. However, if I'm not centered, if I'm not self-actualizing, if I'm not there with myself, then my subconscious mind, of all the little things and details that I thought in the previous past, even people will come up and start trying to please me, because your subconscious mind is there to please you. And what we have to do is get back into control of our subconscious mind. So we're trying to get back into control of our subconscious minds. We're also trying to feel the real feelings of ourselves because we've been numb. Some people haven't awoken. Some people are brand new at this. Some people are wondering what in the world is Kathy talking about tonight, because I am covering a lot of boundaries, a lot of bounds in just a few moments. In just this past 25 moments, I've covered probably a whole semester of school. So what I want you to do is also think of yourself as a color, any color. Look at that color and then describe that color to yourself in descriptive adjectives. When you decide what color you are, like right now, just take a deep breath and breathe in and out and just pick a color. Now describe what you're feeling with those colors, because the color is what the person is to themselves. Now, your colors can change each day, but if you write down love, boundaries, anger, resentment, hurt, fear, you know, that's a pretty orangey color. But if you write down happy, lucky, free, you know, feel what you are feeling in that color. And don't cheat because I've told you what they mean. Really look at the color, absorb it, become it, and then write down your descriptive adjective. Then I want you to become any type of animal, any kind of creature, great or small, that God's created. And I want you to, but you can be looking at the animal or you can be feeling the animal. You can be the animal. You can be a grasshopper that knows a lot of things. You could be a dinosaur. You could also be one of those flying dragons. You could be a unicorn. You could be a dog, a cat, whatever. It doesn't matter. But feel how and what and write it down. Then write under it the descriptive adjectives of what that feeling gives you with that specific animal. Now that is how others perceive you. Is what you write down is how others perceive you. Because the animal is the person. And how others are around that animal is how they perceive you with what you put down on that paper of how that animal causes you to feel. Now we can go into the colors of the white room, which I bring people into a lot of times. And we breathe deeply and we paint the room whatever color we want, or it can stay stark white. It can have rooms, it can have doors, it can have whatever. But let me give you a little hint. That's your spirituality. That's your spiritualism. All those descriptive adjectives that you write down. And each one of those items that you've placed in that room is exactly a meaning behind it. So then give descriptive adjectives behind if it's a double window. How does that double window make you feel? Is there a breeze outside? Think of all these things and really write down your white room and descriptive adjectives of what you're feeling in that room and then look at it. That's where you are in your spirituality today. Okay, then we have water. These are all my concepts and ideas, by the way, because I had to do this in school. I had to, when I was becoming a chemically dependent adolescence counselor for human services, we had to make up something for an exam, and this is what I came up with of how to pretty much read a person and see a person and understand a person. Now, the water is, you can be a drop of water. You can be water that is, you know, an ocean. It can be, it can be a waterfall or a creek or a riverbed. Really look at that water. And after you write down the water, then feel it. Are you looking at the water? Are you becoming the water? Is the water you? How does that make you feel? Look at it. Is it dangerous? Is it respectable? Is it thirsty for more? My husband wrote down that he was one drop of water and thirsty for more. Well, that is how you are in relationships. Because we were going through a divorce, and it was pretty hard because he's my best friend, Mr. Marty is. And so he was one drop of water, and I was behind the waterfall when I was writing this up. He helped me write these things up for school. But anyway, look at those things and those concepts and bring yourself to the descriptive adjectives. And you can do this with anybody in your universe. I have done it so many times online and on the air. And I always say, well, people think I'm reading them. And then I tell them, I'm not giving you a reading. You're reading yourself. You're just giving me descriptive adjectives. And you're just telling me what you feel about those things. So think about it. Your color is your mood, right? Okay. The animal, like a dog, cat, whatever, is other people coming into your territorial domain. So they're looking at you as the animal that we are. And then we have the white, which we're always seeking the white light. That's why I chose the name Bright Lights Pathfinders, because everyone is a bright light searching for the Pathfinder's way. And so if you look at the white light in the white room, and if you put red in there, then you've got passion, you know, that you love as deep as you can hate. If you're mad at somebody, you're going to have that much more passion towards them. is the deeper the love, the opposite the pole. Now, the blue is like that of the color in a candle wick. Okay? It can be the hottest color in the flame, but it can also be the very coldest. So it runs parallel with the red. Now, you have the yellow, which is very sunshiny, but it can also burn you because it's just like anyone that goes to the brightest light. You have to respect it. You have to understand it and absorb it very gently. Almost like laying out in the sun, you have to put on certain things so that your skin doesn't burn, but you can get a nice golden tan. However, if you disrespect the yellow, if you disrespect the sun, then you're going to get sunburned, blistered, third-degree burns. You could even die from being out in the sun, parched. Then you have your greens. Your greens are kind of like, greens represent grounding of oneself. It's more of a nature-nature type of a thing. It's more of involved in different needing money or wanting money or wanting better things for yourself or for the earth. Green represents many different things as well. Then you have your brown tones, which are very earthy and into the earth and very, very, very humanistic ways. You know, like save the earth and save this and save that. And why are you putting that cigarette out on that floor? Don't you know that that's littering? And, you know, just very much so into the earth in the way that the earth feels. And then you have your black and your white, which is the gray in between, which is your balance. So there I hit on some colors for you, and I know this show doesn't usually get call-ins because people are too shy, but sometimes it booms and pops. It seems like the call-ins come when someone wants a reading or something, but I know there's a lot of listeners out there because I sure do get the emails. I sure do get the calls afterwards. Wonder why a person cannot speak up. Sparky the Sanguine, where are you? Give me a call at BBS Radio. Let me hear from you. Let's see. I'm going to give out 888-815-9756. That's a USA and Canada number. The world number is 877-876-5227. Now, you have your phlegmatic, which isn't going to call in at all. You've got your sanguines that call in pretty much all the time. You've got your melancholies that are sensitive and very cautious with the reasons that they want to call in. And there is a certain reason that I did stop an interview that was going to be today, which is a very powerful woman that has very many books out. She knows who she is if she's listening. And it is because of needing to touch base with other people that have evolved into my world about how they're trying to read each other and intermingle again after so many years of not being around each other. You know, we put on our grown-up face and our grown-up shoes because we're so scared of what people are going to think. We're so scared and worried about what others are going to think of us. If we just remembered what others think of us is none of our business, quit judging because we're judging our own self as well. I just know that that's what's going on, and things are clicky. People get clicky, and they get in clicky little groups, and then they say, this person does this, and this person does this. Well, if you haven't seen it, heard it, and witnessed it for yourself, don't listen to the gossip and the bullshit. Oh, excuse me. Oh, I said that word. Excuse me. Anyway, don't listen to anybody but yourself and your own feelings and your own thoughts, your own desires, your own memories, your own wishes, wants. And don't let other people control you, because there's that fine line again, control and concern, you know. So the knowing, okay, let's center into the center soul of the knowing. Okay, if we look at a telescope, right, at the center of ourselves, the soul, what happens? Get a scope, right? You can scope out yourself. Well, man does not live by bread alone, does he? And every word, if you're centered and really know, the Creator created you, and he created the soul out of his own image. That's the gift he gave us. So out of the word of our own mouth is the way we're feeling about God and about creation and about everything. And so always, it's if you think about this as well. What do you serve? Who do you serve first? Because if we don't serve ourselves inside and forgive ourselves first, then go to others for forgiveness and serve others. You know, how can God be so centered inside of us? Because we want to be as centered in God as we can. So you have to forgive and give to yourself first before you can give to others. You have to absorb the knowledge of understanding that you apply to wisdom each day within yourself. And we have to also give respect, utmost, utter respect of other people's feelings of evolvement of spirituality, because they're the star people, there's the Native American ways, the shamanic ways, there's the Baptist and the Jewish, and the, I mean, there's the, oh, just look at them all. There's yoga, there's just so many, 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 and it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. If you all have your feeling of who you are inside yourself and being true to yourself, then you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that those seven bounds up in that stars, up in that gate, and beyond those stars, into that world, is going to be there. Whether it's a spaceship, whether it's whatever, we're going to evolve because our spirits are what is in our body and what we activate outside of ourselves. But our soul is what evolves into the new beginnings of the new world and into the new way. Now, everybody's all concerned over this 2012 and 2011 and da-da-da-da-da. What makes you think that we're not flipping this world inside out and ripping it from its core so that we can be? Everybody is realizing that it's got to change. You know, speaking out the negativity and negativity against the person and, you know, whatever, that's like saying, look at me. How else can you get the focus on yourself? Can you be loving and kind? But don't be mushy, because then people will take advantage of you. Then you have your feeling of self-confidence. However, you got to put that business mode on and go out there to your 9-to-5 job or whatever job there is. The confidence, what you speak, it will evolve. What you think, so will it be. So it's like knock and the door opens, ask and we receive, seek and we'll find. And quenching thirst. Now think of this. There's the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. See, that's what I go for. And he can be, you can be drunk on the Holy Spirit with just the deepest fire of the feeling of the, I can't explain it. All I know is that that is what I choose to feel. And I'm not pushing it down anybody's throat, because I really respect the Wiccan ways. I do. I just choose not to pray to any god or goddesses, but I love every bit of the Wiccan ways. I practice a lot of the Wiccan ways. As a matter of fact, I was raised partially in the Wiccan ways, and then I was raised in Baptist ways. But I threw all that out and decided who I was for myself. I studied with the shamans, the Seneca Reservation grandmothers, you all know. I studied with them for a good while. And so I've got shaman in me as well. I've got where I went to school. I went to East Mecklenburg, I went to McLennan, I went to Lansdowne, I went to Matthews, but I also went to Western Carolina in Cullowhee. I went to Central Piedmont, and I also went to school for myself, school for living, school for who I am. I studied codependency, wanting to take care of other people and being resentful if they wouldn't let me take care of them. I wanted to fix everybody and everything so that they wouldn't hurt me, you know. It's just, we can always change. We're ever changing. Now, the world doesn't change. Nothing changes. We change to change. It's just like with time, a clock. Now, a lot of religious beliefs believe that we're here for a purpose to solve the world's issues and then evolve. Okay, then we have the issues of another type of, it's not religion, it's the world views, let me say. Like the evangelical, that's where the angels and God and more like the world views of knowing that we're here for a purpose, like maybe conquering fear, and that Christ died for us to save us, you know, so that we have something to believe in, to have eternal life. Now, there's also the people think that they're channeling people or something like that. I've heard the word channeling be thrown around a lot. Now, I want to ask you something, and I want you to look really deep. Is channeling not having the spirit within? Ask yourself that. So if you're channeling someone or something, is that not the spirit that is coming within? Now, what I see that is the people that have passed that we know of or that we feel, those empath people and those people that, like I'm talking to someone and I pick up on somebody's feelings of their grandparent or whatever passed, I'm zoning in on that person to help that person, and I can see, feel it. And I also do the remote viewing, and I do the cleansing of the chakras before I get started and the grounding as well. But it's that, if people want to call that mediumship or whatever, that's fine. But, you know, mediumship to me is when you use a Ouija board, when you use the crystal ball, when you use the card, you know, all that stuff to bring that in. And those open portals. Portals bring in other entities and other spirits, because one spirit doesn't just come with you opening up something like that. That's a no to me. I mean, don't even go there, because if I can't get channeled in through the Holy Spirit of what He wants me to speak, say, and do, then how in the world can I ever evolve into who I'm supposed to be? Exactly. But there's also the worldview. Now, let me give you an example of the worldviews of the atheists, per se. They don't believe in anything, nothing. We're just here but the physical, the boundaries, the here and now, the limit. The material world only is so enclosed. But then you have that theism of the material world, right? Okay, if you have the material world and the physical body, then there, and they think there is no God, isn't that self-ego? Isn't that being centered with this belief? And isn't, if you have self-ego, isn't that the center of soul? And didn't God create us His image with just soul? So ask yourself that if you don't believe in anything. I'm going to light some candles just a second, because I just felt a big energy come in here. And I'm going to light BBS Radio's energy. And I'm going to allow BBS Radio, would you please light the candle to all the listeners and all the other people, all the people that you know all over the universe. Let's get some light in here, the subject, because the soul is man, and centering ourselves is what it's all about, the center of soul. Okay, let's look at another worldview. Pantheism. What is pantheism? Is that the universe that believes that there's nothing beyond the universe at all? Is that believing that the ways of like a New Age type religion of teaching is very good, but it's very scientific as well? Now, can't scientific and spirituality get along together? Because isn't God all one universe? Isn't the mind of a pantheism believing that it is necessary that there is God that created the universe, however the deities of the soul evolve after? But there's limitations, you see. They believe in limitations. The reality of such and subject as maybe the infinite being, and that God is unlimited through many pantheism worldviews, and the discords of the denial. Okay, got to look at that denial, because that's a self thing, right? There we go with that self thing again. And that's also our soul, which is doomed after death. Oh, my gosh, doomed after death, like God's got this little black book that He writes in or something like that. However, there is a process that causes the energies to think of this is just deja vu. So you got to think also as well as in the changing of evolvement into a new realm, which life defeats itself. Okay, so therefore you have the pantheist belief, which there is no soul. Because how can a pantheist system believe in this way if you went through some changing process to be in changing? You see, to start believing that way anyway, doesn't that mean that you have to be in change? Doesn't that mean that you have to believe in the change that is change? And if you think about your heart center, which is what a patriot does, it is very much through going through the change which they are on now. So then you have the pantheism worldview. That's kind of like a bipolar type of worldview, per se. That's more on the lines of the contrast that the mind and the body is there for God, and that the mind is the universe. I'll think about that one a minute. Okay, if God, mind is the universe, and we're a body inside of that universe, then aren't we God? There's that I am in me again, okay? Now I want to look at the conscious and the unconsciousness that exists in the mind, okay, the constant change. Does this not affirm the concept to me of contrasting the theism? It does to me. So I have to look at the external world and how it's changing and how it's set, and then the rest of my understanding of this bipolar world that's been thrown off its axis will thus be in contradictory with its own self-belief system in this way. So then, bipolar to me is unbalanced and like a seesaw worldview. It's known as a process of this theology, and it's also due to seeking understandings about the pantheism in itself of the physical. However, God is infinite and has created this world, so therefore it's throwing itself off balance, which self is into the center of soul, and God is the soul. And he created us and gave us that image. He gave us his soul. So then I look at deism, okay, and I'm with deism. This is a pretty deep one, okay, because a lot of world views, every relationship has to deism. That is like God created the universe. However, don't believe in God having any part, like, why did this person die? Or why did this have to happen to me? Or look at what this happened. That is more or less like a deism. It's like letting go of the existence of the world and allowing one to do their own thing. And they believe also in the karma, which I believe in the karma. I believe in all of these theologies, believe it or not, except for I know that I'm not atheist because I know that I exist after this. But I'm just saying we all put some little liquid into our drink to drink the fire of the Holy Spirit, because it's all a part of the same evolvement of the Creator. And to me, God brought his Son down on this earth so that we would have something to hold on to, something to believe in, and something to be evolved into. So he was a great prophet. He was a great teacher. He was a great healer. He was great. All the things that we're trying to evolve into, you see, and he died on the cross so that he could rise again, so that we could look at him, and so that we could say, I believe that he is the Son of God, because I am a daughter of God. I am as Christ-like as I possibly can. And also, my brother is the Son of God. However, we're not Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're Jesus Christ. I'm just saying we're all sons and daughters of God. And I just look at the different teachings of all of them, and I highly respect them to the depths of everything. But the part of what I'm trying to transpire here is immanence. It's where God is not the infinite being, is what the deism is pretty much like. It's like the ways and means that are basically taking care of oneself in such a manner, and that there are no real miracles, you know. And you have to look at one way is always that way, no matter what. That's what a deism does. And itself, if you're doing that, you're centering into self again, right? Centering back into self again, and center into the soul is creating the self of God within you. And then you have the finite godism, which is finite godism, which is a belief that God exists beyond the universe. However, God's powerlessness and his limitations within means will not help any human being, that we're here on this earth and sat down, and it's a bomb ticking, getting ready to explode of the time, because we are choosing the ways we're making this world to be. But if we're doing that, aren't we in the world? Aren't we a part of it? Don't we make a place in it? Don't we play a part in it? Isn't that self into the center, which is the soul, which is the man? And didn't God create the soul in his image to give us? Okay, there you have another theism. Okay, let's look at polyism. Okay, well, those are beliefs that there's many, many gods, you know, and that we live back in the times of mythology days, and that the spiritual work around us is incarnated, per se, and taken and residing in certain places and things. It's where the planets and the star systems are, and it's where the living things that are sought out for its own meaning, and very, very, very earthy. And though, throughout the cosmos, God lives. Therefore, there we go again. You know, the theism to me in this one is that the creation of God, didn't God create them? Didn't he? If God created the gods and goddesses, then there we go back again into the actual foundation that I ponder often, is centering into oneself's heart and beliefs of all things that God is the cause and the gods are the cause. Well, I'll rest my case here. I'm just going to rest my case, because seeking those understandings, cause and effects and actions, you know, how the gods and goddesses work, well, to the whole picture residing within the without of the universe, which is also a part of the universe, which I believe in, which God is soul, soul is man, and self into the center of God. Now, my moral of the story here, guys, is that, let's just take a deep breath a minute. Just breathe a minute and absorb what I said, because I'm going to give you a moral of this story. Keep breathing. You there? Okay, let's look at this. Theism. Now, you know I've taught many of you Bright Light Pathfinder's Way. What, 500,000 of you more? 5,000 of you? 1,800? 18 million listeners on the radio. I called BBS one day and I said, why am I getting this letter that's in foreign language? And he says, I can't help you reach Russia. And I was like, oh, my gosh, okay. That was when I first got on the air. And so hello to all my Russian friends. He was telling me that it was like I needed to learn to read the Russian to understand the letter that I got, because I didn't. But I'm just saying, we all reach out, and I am on the radio of BBS so that I can reach out to you guys and just give you a jolt of, let's smooth things out. Let's let the waters smooth, and let's look at my moral of the story instead of throwing the rocks in there. Let's see if we can see our image back into our reflection. Okay. Now, the very gift that God created is the image of his soul, right? And purpose is a choice of free will, which is my experiences. Okay? Then I have the ego. When I was told no at age 2, that's when I bucked the system. There's all the different temperaments. Cleric-ness, headstrong, strong-willed. No, did it hurt my feelings? No, did it make me just want to sit there and not hear it? No, did the melancholy come out in me? Because I have all those temperaments in me. Now, that is the cause and effect. But allowing God to take control of me and me letting go and giving up myself and my self-righteous ways and just living in the moment and praying for God to bring into my life people, places, and things that are good and healthy for me, and to remove all the people, places, and things that are not, and to just stay as centered as I possibly can and believe that he will do, she will do, they will do their job, God the Creator. Now, listen, because there's an exact effect, That's a part of the conclusion of one's effectiveness. Affect and effect. Self into the center of soul. Well, I know that it's time for me to wrap it up because it's 9:55 and we get off the air at 9:55. So I hope everyone enjoyed this, and you know, things are meant the way they're supposed to be. No call-ins, because it was supposed to be meant for me to exactly speak what I needed to say. And with that, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, all of you active listeners. And with that, I'm off the air. Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook, over and out.